This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, State Representative John Bison joins us. The Battle Creek Republican weighs in on where the state may look for more money for roads. But first, a new report from the Kalamazoo-based Upjohn Institute for Employment Research begins with the words, Michigan has a problem. That problem is that students in the state's K-12 schools are falling behind students in other states. Kevin Hollenbeck is vice president and senior economist with the Upjohn Institute, and he led the research team that produced the report called The Road Toward K-12 Excellence in Michigan. Kevin Hollenbeck, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Let me begin by reading from the introduction of the report. Michigan is a state in which education has been accorded high priority by policymakers, parents, businesses, educational watchdog organizations, the media, and others. Yet student achievement has been stagnant over the last decade. How did that happen?
Well, I think mainly the problem has been the economic situation in Michigan. There was a national recession in the early 2000s. There was a bigger recession in the 2007-2009 timeframe. And sort of in between those recessions, Michigan really did not recover as much as other states because we had a lot of restructuring and reengineering going on in the automotive industry. And so we think a large share of the blame, if you want to use that word, goes to the economic picture in the state.
So is there money right now that Michigan could be spending on education that you have found they are spending somewhere else and therefore it could be reallocated?
Not really. We tried to shy away from making any specific recommendations about how the legislature would fund or how much they should fund education. We do think there should be some more funding. But it turns out that the Michigan economy is not at all strong. And in the report, we show that the growth rate in the economy over the last decade or so is 49th out of 51 states plus the District of Columbia. Our economy is not strong. Despite having a weak economy, we've done pretty well in funding education. The share of our economy that goes to K-12 education is above many states. We're in the middle of the pack or even a little bit above the middle of the pack in terms of share of funding going to education. So we have a problem. We believe that funding is crucial to improve education. We're in a situation where the economy is sort of just now recovering from deep recessions and there isn't a lot of funding out there. And so it's a problem that will take a long time to be resolved, I think.
I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent here, but when you say the economy is not strong, if Governor Snyder or a member of his administration were here, they would point out, X number of jobs created over the last few years. They'd point out that the state unemployment rate is now matching the national unemployment rate for the first time in 15 years. Is the state's economy getting stronger, and could that help alleviate part of the problem you've spelled out in this report?
Right. There's certainly all the evidence is pointing that the state is doing much better with its economy over the last few years. We are gaining jobs and reducing the unemployment rate. So, yes, we think economic growth is a part of the answer to more funding for schools.
You also do point out, however, that Michigan has a problem in terms of the money spent on education actually getting to classroom instruction. What could the state do, or is there something they can do to guarantee that a higher percentage of that money spent on education is actually being spent in the classroom?
Right. We've made six major recommendations in our study. If the legislature, and we believe it should, find more resources for education, it doesn't make a lot of sense just to spend the money as it has been spent in the past. We're not getting the results that we would like. And so we're calling for targeting the spending through some demonstration projects that have been shown to work in other settings. So it's important that the spending does get directed to instruction. Michigan has a big problem with legacy costs. We don't really get into solving that issue, didn't really address that issue. I think that the state is sort of addressing that with some of their pension initiatives. But you're absolutely right, Gordon. We need to make sure that any additional resources that can be found get directed to instruction.
Should the state be focusing on at-risk students? Should they be focusing on students who have come from low-income families, perhaps low-income areas of the state? Is that a concern as well?
Absolutely. A big emphasis of the report is focusing on getting resources to low-income students. We found kind of this insidious effect that the more low-income students in a district, the worse results are for both low-income and non-low-income students. In our report, we've identified 7 exemplary states in terms of student achievement and in terms of helping low-income students. And to give you a sense of the comparison, Michigan currently has a funding source for low-income students called Section 31A categorical, and it works out to about $600 per student. 6 out of the 7 states that we looked at give additional funding for each low-income students on the order of $2,000 to $5,000 per student. So Michigan, relative to those states, is quite far behind in terms of funding low income. And we think that overall student achievement in the state will clearly need to include the low income students as well. Interestingly, it's the case that no state has really done a great job at decreasing the gap between low income and non-low income students. So we can't criticize Michigan for not reducing that gap. No state has really done it very well.
But have some states done it better than others?
But some states have done it a bit better than we have and still maintain much better test score results for everybody.
The last time that Michigan made a major change to how it funds schools was back in the 90s with something called Proposal A, approved by voters, which changed the funding mechanism in many ways. Is that part of the problem, as you see it right now, with where Michigan stands in terms of education and financing?
The impetus for our study, which was funded by 3 Michigan foundations, the Kellogg Foundation, the Steelcase Foundation, and the Skillman Foundation, the impetus was to look at the effect of Proposal A on student achievement. So that was sort of the whole goal of the project. Proposal A was not really an education proposal. It was really a property tax relief proposal. But it also had a very beneficial effect in terms of equalizing funding across districts in Michigan. During the 90s, funding got more equal across districts, and all districts were seeing increases in student achievement. The problem came along in the 2000s when the economy started going bad and the state could not continue to increase the foundation grant as much as it had been earlier. And furthermore, Michigan was losing population and losing student enrollment. And Proposal A actually ends up hurting districts that decline in enrollment. The reason for that is that if you lose a student, you lose the entire foundation grant, but your costs really don't change very much. You still need the same number of classrooms, the same number of teachers, and so forth. And so
you have to lose a certain number of students before you can justify having one less teacher.
Exactly. Over the last few years, about 3/4 of Michigan's school districts have lost enrollment. So this is going on in the majority of school districts. So we think it's time to tweak Proposal A, alter Proposal A. I would say in this study, we looked at funding mechanisms in other states. And most states, when they went to a foundation grant system, have been using what they call categorical funding or special pots of funding in their budgets for flexibility purposes. What seems to be happening in Michigan is we went to a foundation grant system, but we also have been cutting back on categoricals. And so we really don't have a lot of flexibility in our funding system, despite the fact that the 500-plus traditional school districts and 200-plus charter school districts are different, have different needs, different student characteristics. And so the funding system just doesn't serve, it doesn't have a lot of flexibility in it.
You make a recommendation that there be an allowance for what are called local enhancement millages. If this were to be implemented, how would this work? Would voters in a school district have the chance to boost education funding on their own?
Yes. Since the state economy is limited, it's growing, but it's limited, we think a source of resources to bring into education would be local property wealth. And so we believe that one change to Proposal A would be to allow a limited local enhancement millage. We propose supplementing that millage for those locations that don't have the same property wealth as other locations. We also would like to somehow design this system so that the money gets spent on instruction, as we were talking about before. And we think that if a location would fund such a millage, we're suggesting 3 mills for up to 5 years, then the charter schools in that district, since they don't have a
school
community,
district elections,
per se, they don't rely on property taxes or can't, they would also receive the additional funding. Community passes this millage, it goes to the traditional and to the charter school districts in our proposal.
There currently is an allowance for an enhancement millage countywide or in an intermediate school district, which has been passed by KRESA in the KRESA area, for instance. Are you saying that that's not enough for schools to be able to enhance education and enhance their finances?
That's correct. Kalamazoo has been very fortunate and is obviously very supportive of its educational districts in passing that millage. That millage has not passed in most other intermediate school districts. The problem with that system, it does allow local enhancement, but the problem is that it requires the majority of all the voters in a fairly large region comprised of multiple districts with multiple different needs and interests, and it's hard to get conflicts resolved at the local level. So we think a local district millage would work better.
So as I noted, the report is called The Road Toward K-12 Excellence in Michigan. Does that indicate that it is something of a long journey? Is this a long-range thing where you look out on the horizon and say, we've got to be here in 10 years, here in 15, et cetera?
It absolutely is a long-range journey. There are no silver bullets. No legislator is going to come up with something today that's going to show an impact next year, in my humble opinion. So what I'm saying is we need to take this mindset for the long haul, that it's due to the recession and restructuring and so forth of the last decade that's hurt our students educationally. We want to be able to look the students in the face 10, 15, 20 years from now and say, you know, we've done all we can, and now you are competitive with all other states.
Kevin Hollenbeck, thank you for your time.
Sure. Thank you, Gordon.
Kevin Hollenbeck is vice president and senior economist with the Upjohn Institute for Employment Research in Kalamazoo. He also was the lead economist on a report called The Road Toward K-12 Excellence in Education. A link to the Upjohn Institute report and a longer version of this interview can be found at wmuk.org.